Sí, cruel.
Thank you. Good morning. So I don't talk very often. Can you hear me okay? Okay, thank you. I don't talk very often in our forums about my job, but that's kind of where I'm going to start this morning. So, oh, I throw everything on the ground. Hold on. I work for what's called the National Space Defense Center, which is part of the Joint Task Force Space Defense. And what our job is basically protecting our satellites, both military and commercial satellites, oh well, and other government satellites from potential attacks. And so it's a fairly new organization. I've been there for 4 years. And when I first started there, I was probably among the first 40 people. We've now grown to several hundred, probably 300, 400 people. So I've been with this organization watching us grow up. So I'm a government civilian, so I'm paid directly by the government. I'm not a contractor, so I'm not military, and I've never been military. And my organization really represents a lot of diversity, a lot of diversity of different professional backgrounds, people, kind of a melting pot of different government organizations that have come together to try to understand how to make sure that our satellites are safe. My day-to-day job consists of working with many large acquisition programs that are being developed for use by my organization. So I represent the user's voice in the forums where I participate, trying to figure out how all these things integrate together into a whole. The number of projects in my portfolio is staggering. I work with well over 25 large, million-dollar, multi-million-dollar projects, and countless smaller ones. Everything from how we'll use the thing that we're building to helping design software to interact with it. Basically, a lot of chaos, and I'm constantly double and triple booked for meetings. That's kind of the norm for me. And one time in a discussion with Sarah, she described kind of what I do and my work as being a weaver, basically weaving all of these different pieces together. That's the integration work that I live and breathe on a daily basis. I love this image of myself as a weaver, weaving people and projects and software and organizations together, developing a vision, and then working with each part of this whole tapestry to guide where it goes, how each thread is shaped, the detailed particulars I see as things like color, thickness, material, fiber of the thread as a whole. Once each thread starts to form and I can see it, then I can start to work with how it integrates into the rest of the picture. Which ones are the foundational ones that have to be laid in first? Which ones are more decorative or more delicate? Do they have to be threaded through a small hole? What does my team think of what I'm weaving? It took me a year to build a picture in my head for how all these things fit together and see both the whole in its current state and what it needs to become as the finished tapestry. In our retreat last month, we spent some time with Musso Soseki's poem Old Creek. So I'll go ahead and read it just so that it's fresh. Since before anyone remembers, it has been clear, shining like silver. Though the moonlight penetrates it and the wind ruffles it, no trace of either remains. Today, I would not dare to expound the secret of the stream bed, but I can tell you that the blue dragon is coiled there. During the retreat, someone brought in the red thread. How is it that a clear-eyed bodhisattva can't sever the red thread? Near the end of the retreat, Andrew also described an image of a dragon with a red thread in its mouth. I had a couple of images associated with this. One, the red thread being the dragon's tongue, and the other, the dragon being entwined in the red thread. As I sat with this second image, myself as the dragon, stuck like a kitten tangled in the thread, I noticed a tightness, almost a cutting-like feeling, feeling almost like a fishing line cutting into my flesh. In preparing for this talk, I did a Google search for red thread just so I could try to remember the words to the koan. But what I came up with, or what I landed on, was a website by Wendy and Greenhall. And so I want to share her artwork just real briefly with us. So I have just two slides. Here's the first one. And then here's the second one. I also looked up the etymology of the word tangle. So I'll go ahead and read that. From the mid 14th century, nasalized variant of tagalin, to involve in a difficult situation, entangle. From a Scandinavian source, compare dialectical Swedish taglia or tagla to disorder. Old Norse pongal, seaweed. Thus, the original sense of the root evidently was seaweed, as something that entangles itself, or oars, or fishes, or nets. So, sitting in the retreat, feeling the constricting of the thread all knotted around me, realizing that had been a familiar feeling in my recent life, I decided to do an I Ching reading. What came up was the hexagram disentangle. Whoa, okay. How do I do that? Well, the way to untie a knot is to pull it apart, to loosen it, to create space for it to breathe, to allow movement rather than constriction. One thing I often do when trying to create space or let a container around me get bigger is to either physically go outside and look at the night sky, or to at least visually imagine it. What I do is I look at the star, and then I remind myself just how large that star is. And then I look at, you know, the next star over, which is like, you know, a couple inches away, and really let myself feel how big of a distance that really is compared to these stars that are already unimaginably huge. And so if I can't actually go outside and do that, I also just sit and kind of call up that imagery for myself. I spent the last few weeks playing with different levels of entanglement. What's the physical feeling when I find myself getting caught, wrapped up in it? What's the feeling just before that happens? What I've noticed there is it's typically a feeling of being separate or disconnected, which makes me want to dive in, and kind of is the opposite of being disconnected. It's kind of wrapped up in it, or entangled by it, as the words I've been kind of using. How do I not get tangled in the first place? Or do I have to get tangled as an inherent part of life? I find images of water flowing off a duck's back and a burr stuck in a cat's fur. In thinking of Muso Suseki's stream, there's a stillness and openness at the bottom of the stream where things don't move much. And at the top of the stream, I imagine rushing waters, bubbling, flowing past. There are times where I feel this rushing past as overwhelming, and times I can feel myself perhaps a bit disconnected from the ongoings above the water, deep, deep in the stream. It can be a nice place to visit, but I'm not quite sure about staying there. Have to come back up to the surface for a breath of air. So there's this in-between place, a place of some movement, a place where I can swim and dive. to change the depths in the water and flow in and out of it. This seems vital in the ever-changing depths. Oh, there seems to be something vital in the ever-changing depths of things. For me, as both a Zen student and a physicist, there's a similarity in the two, actually, as both are ways to describe how it is. Certainly different languages, but at the heart of it, there is and always has been a strong link between the correlation, or between the exploration of the two for me. So I can't help but think about quantum entanglement when the word entanglement comes up. So I'll go ahead and read Wikipedia's explanation of it. Quantum entanglement is a physical phenomenon that occurs when a pair or group of particles is generated, interact, or share spatial proximity in a way such that the quantum state of each particle or pair of the pair or group cannot be described independently of the state of the others, including when the particles are separated by a large distance. And what they mean by a large distance is across the whole universe. The topic of quantum entanglement is at the heart of the disparity between classical and quantum physics. Entanglement is a primary feature of quantum mechanics, lacking in classical mechanics. Measurements of physical properties such as position, momentum, spin, and polarity performed on entangled particles can, in some cases, be found to be perfectly correlated. For example, if a pair of entangled particles is generated such that their total spin is known to be zero, and one particle is found to have clockwise spin on its first axis, then the spin of the other particle, mind you, a universe away, measured on the same axis is found to be counterclockwise. However, this behavior gives rise to seemingly paradoxical effects. Any measurement of a particle's properties result in an irreversible wave function collapse of the particle that changes the original quantum state. With entangled particles, such measurements affect the entangled system as a whole. Basically, the particles are interconnected. So what's the big problem with being entangled in the first place? I am going to kind of end with a poem by Tony Hoagland in The Priest Turned Therapist Treats Fear of God. So here's the picture of the book. Sorry, I'll go ahead. I didn't give people much time to see it. So it's this wonderful little book of poetry. So the poem is called Entangle. Sometimes I prefer not to untangle it. I prefer it to remain disorganized because it's richer that way. Like a certain shrubbery I pass by each day on Reba Street, in an unimpressive yard in front of a house that seems unoccupied. A chest high spreading shrub with large white waxy blossoms, whose stalks are climbed and woven through simultaneously by different kind of vine with small magenta flowers that appear and disappear inside the maze of leaves like tiny purple stitches. The white and purple combination of these species, one seems to possibly be strangling the other. One possibly lifting the other up. It would take both a botanist and a psychologist to figure it all out. But I prefer not to disentangle it because it's more accurate. My ferocious love and how it repeatedly is trapped inside my fear of being sentimental, my need to control even the kindness of the world, rejecting gifts for which I'm not prepared. My apparently inextinguishable notion that I am moving towards a destination. I could probably untangle it, yet I prefer to walk down Reba Street instead, in the sunlight and the wind, with no mastery of my feelings or my thoughts. Purple and ivory and green, not understanding what I am. And yet in certain moments, remembering and bursting into tears, somewhat confused as the vines run through me and flower unexpectedly. Oh, we have time.